Today on Real Life Radio.
I believe Jesus is still in the grave. Well, that's interesting. Can you prove that? The religious hierarchy who hated him bore witness to the fact that he rose from the dead, and his disciples were killed by martyrdom because they understood and watched him being risen from the dead. So how is it again that you claim Jesus is in a tomb in Jerusalem? Where'd you get that from?
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You ever feel like your Christian values are under constant assault? In a world where biblical truth is often labeled hateful or backward, how do we stand firm without becoming combative or isolated? Pastor Jack Hibbs wants to help you find answers with this month's featured resource, When Culture Hates You. It's written by Natasha Crane. And in this straight-talking book, you'll discover how to tackle tough conversations, maintain biblical convictions, and respond to cultural hostility with both grace and truth. Now, think of it as your essential guide for navigating a world that often views faith as the enemy. You'll learn how to speak confidently on issues of morality, identity, and belief without losing sight of God's love, because sometimes the strongest stance is one that balances conviction with compassion. Now, if you're ready to stand strong in an ever-shifting culture, look no further. When Culture Hates You, it's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. One more time, jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message titled On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 2. Now, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Now, in Peter's time, Christians were mocked and ridiculed and often tortured for their faith. Like in ancient times, Peter's challenging Christ followers to always be on guard and to be ready to give an answer for our faith. So today, on day 3 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the true passion of the believer is the Lord's return. Christ has prepared a place for us, isn't that great? And to share what we believe is to give someone that same opportunity to receive him. Think about it. Now with his message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10 says, "Wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." That is the tribulation period, God's wrath. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also," what does it say? "Eagerly wait." Stop right there. Is Jack eagerly waiting for Jesus Christ to return? That's the question. Christian, don't answer out loud. Are you eagerly awaiting his appearance? Does it float your boat to think Jesus could come back this week before I do any Christmas shopping? Jesus, please come back. No, but really, seriously. Do you eagerly wait? It's like, isn't it beautiful? Think about it, Christian. Think of the possibilities. What if? What if you don't see death? There will be a generation that comes when Christ descends from heaven to call his church up. Amen. The Bible says that era of the church that's living at the time, Paul said, we who are alive and remain, Paul thought it was going to happen in his day. You say, "Ha! I mock you, Jack. I scoff at you, Jack," because Paul, 2,000 years ago, he was waiting. Look what happened to him. He got his head cut off. No. Listen. You are to eagerly be awaiting. And if he didn't come 2,000 years ago, then any time now. Are you with me? See, the passion of the believer is to be excited about his coming. Eagerly wait. Look at the verse in Philippians still. "For the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our vile body." Please say amen. Hallelujah. "Lord, transform our vile body that it may be conformed to his glorious body." When he comes back, we are going to be changed. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You say, Jack, that's wild. Of course it's wild. That's miraculous. Yep. The Bible says it could happen anytime. Galatians 5, verse 5. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. That's the life of the believer. John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation or difficulty. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Isn't that great? And then before we move on, John 14. This is the greatest. I love this verse. John 14, and you guys know it well, verses 1 to 3. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What an awesome promise. This whole thing should motivate you and I to be ready to give an answer to everyone. We should always be ready. Verse 15 also teaches us this, church, that you and I will need to provide evidence. You'll be called upon by the world to provide evidence. What do we mean by that? When he says ready to give a defense, the word defense here is the word apologia in Greek. It doesn't mean I'm sorry. It means this is the defense. It means to speak or to articulate, to orate the answer. It's to think for a moment of standing in a courtroom or in a theater, and you're giving an answer. You give an apologia. You're providing evidence as to why. By the way, this is great. So the word means to give a speech. It means to be in defense or to defend or to vindicate your argument. This is why I believe what I believe. Every attorney, every law student goes through this bit of argumentation. What's interesting to note is that ancient Greeks, they put a very high value on thought and idea and how well it could be defended. Watch this. This is cool. And you might know this more than you think. Do you remember when Paul in Acts 17 went to Mars? I mean, not to Mars. Sorry, my goodness. Went to Athens to Mars Hill. Do you remember when the apostle flew to Mars? When he went to Mars Hill in Athens, Greece, Paul was waiting for his ministry team to arrive. He had gotten there what looks to be at least a week or longer before the rest of the crew showed up. So he was walking around the city, he says. And he walked up the main agora. By the way, it's there today. You can literally walk up it today. It's there. And on either side of the agora, the lane, are these various gods. And I alluded to them last week, but Paul's just walking and he sees all the gods that you've read about throughout history, all these Greek and Babylonian gods. See, because the Greeks worshiped all of them. So there was one, it had to be funny and brilliant at the same time. There was one pedestal, all these gods were on pedestals, but there was one pedestal that had nothing on it. And the Greeks were very, very fearful of offending any god by not recognizing that god. So they inscribed on the pedestal that this pedestal is dedicated to the unknown god. Mm-hmm. And Paul, awesome Paul, smart guy, culturally sensitive. He's walking around looking. Unknown god. These Greeks do not know the god I know. Excuse me. Athenians, I'd like to talk to you about this God. Can you imagine the conversation that must have started? How does he know about this God? It's the unknown God. How does he know? Oh, now, look, they weren't dumb. Hello. They were Greeks. Brilliant. Watch this. This is their thought. Hey, we place a high value on thought, idea, and argumentation. In fact, we spend most of our lives either arguing for or against things or just to hear an argument. Did you know that? They would sit. sometimes like this, they would sit and they would talk and they would generate philosophy. And Paul gives his defense to the unknown God, and he's brilliant. He says, this God, this unknown God, what's the logic in this? I know him. And they must have went, what? If this is an unknown God, you've already admitted as a community, we don't know him. They cannot defend what is said pro or con about this unknown God because they don't know him. Atheists have nothing to say about your God. They don't know him. Are you with me?
Yes.
They're out of their league. Paul sees this opportunity. He says, yeah, hey, awesome. Thank you, everybody, for having this pedestal here. I've arrived to announce to you, this is the God, and all these others, he never made fun of their gods. He just said, all these others are what they are. My God is the God of the living. He's the God of heaven and earth. He's the God over all. He's it. There's nothing else. And from him came all of mankind and all that there. And he's given this argument. And the Greeks are going, son of a gun. He can argue apologia what he believes. And he's got us. Because the God that he introduced us to trumps all these other tokens that we have. The Christians got the answer. Church, listen, before you go out there and storm the world, know this. All of the gods that are out there, they're all man-made. They sound real. They look real. They might even make you feel like they're real. They're fake. They're like a prop. It's a set at Universal. There's nothing behind the house. It's fake. You worship the one and real true God. You know him. They don't know him. The only way they're going to know him is you being alert and always being ready to give an answer to someone who asks of you, what's with you? Are you a Christian? Yeah, and here's the reason why.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And then listen, they'll say, well, I can't believe in the Bible. There's all kinds of mistakes in it. Oh, really? Where'd you hear that? Can you produce some mistakes, friend? That's quite a claim. Put it right back on them. I believe Jesus is still in the grave. Well, that's interesting. Can you prove that? Because eyewitness accounts bore record of the fact that he rose from the dead. Not only that, but the Roman Empire bore witness that he rose from the dead. The religious hierarchy who hated him bore witness to the fact that he rose from the dead. And his disciples were killed by martyrdom because they understood and watched him being risen from the dead. So how is it again that you claim Jesus is in a tomb in Jerusalem? Where'd you get that from? Don't let them get away with it. I'm not saying this to win the argument. Are you with me?
Yes.
I'm saying that you stand your ground so that they might have to think about what it is that they claim to believe and let it crumble to dust what they believe, that they might turn and say, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That will happen through your life. As a believer, the evidence that you will give, and it will be truth, not feeling. It will be truth. So when the Greeks heard an argument, they weren't offended by it. Paul bested their gods. Notice, they didn't kill him. They were shocked. They weren't offended by that. There was no snowflakes melting on Mars Hill that day. They said, wow, we gotta think about this. Isn't that great? Be ready to give it a defense. Man, I have a lot of scripture. I have no time. We could go. Somebody asked, so how do I do that? So Todd, you just asked, Jack, how do we do this? You can jot down a few words. One of them is this way. You can do this. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek God. Do I go to college? Do I go to seminary? No, please don't. Seek God. 2 Timothy, mark it down. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy 1, 12. It says, for this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Wow. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him against that day. What a strong statement. He knew, Paul knew what he believed. And then third and final closing argument under this point is verse 15 says that we're to give this answer to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Meekness and reverence or respect. We're not to be arrogant about it. We're not to say to people, Jesus rose from the dead, and if you don't believe that, you're an idiot. You don't do that. Just stay home. Don't do that. You got to remember, listen, souls are in the balance. Eternity is on the other side. Man, I just saw a guy the other day, Friday, going down the freeway. You guys, going down the freeway on a ninja bike. Is that what they call those bikes? You know those crazy fast bikes? He's sitting up. He's got his arms back like this. And no hands on the handlebar, and he's just flying, and he's turning lanes by weaving with his body weight like this. And I thought to myself, if that dude knew how far he was or how close he was to eternity. So the final thing is this: you and I will need to exhibit its power, the power of the gospel. Exhibit the power of the gospel. Give that answer to everyone who asks of you a reason for the hope. We're going to end with this. In Acts chapter 26, verse 27 and 28, many of us have been to this location. In fact, guys, go ahead and put the first slide up. I'll read this to you. See this right here. This is Caesarea, Israel. And by the way, do you see all the dark area that's out in the water? That's all underwater construction. Herod invented, by the way, underwater cement that would set underwater. He's the inventor of that, and he used it here first. Those are all structures underwater there that Herod built. Keep looking at that. And I'm going to read a verse. Guys, go ahead and leave this on the screen. I'll just read the verse. Acts 26, 27 says, Paul is speaking right there. Paul the Apostle is speaking. And he says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. Then King Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me, Paul, to become a Christian. Right there in this spot. Next slide. See that? That is not, many of you have been there. That is not like the theater that Paul spoke at. That is the theater that Paul spoke at. You see this cutout? You see the middle? You see the blue seats are at? You see the little box? See the little, it's hard to see. It's right in the middle, lower section. That's where Agrippa was sitting. That's where dignitaries sat. Paul would come out. In fact, show the next slide. Paul came out from underground in that tunnel. See the stairs to the right? He would have gone up those stairs onto the floor. Go back to the previous slide. Up, see those people, two guys in a white shirt? Paul standing there. He was called to give a defense for his Christian faith. And Paul is speaking to them. And Agrippa says, you almost convinced me to become a Christian. Isn't that sad? I hope you're not almost a Christian. What's beautiful is the camera, your back is facing the west. Paul is arrested there. And if you take that theater right there and you just squeeze it, just think like it's rubber and you squeeze it, just like this. That little Paul was standing right there. That was his last time he was standing on Israel's soil there, because you know what? From that pinpoint location, that very spot, it'd make you cry. The Holy Spirit took Paul and squeezed him out of that theater. That guy got on a ship right there bound for Rome. From that pinpoint drop right there, the gospel left the continent and went all the way to Los Angeles, Seattle, Chino Hills, San Diego, Denver, New York, Belgium. Are you with me?
Yes.
From that pinpoint spot. Because Paul gave an argument for what it was he believed, and it was so powerful that Agrippa said, in a cover-up of his own soul, "You almost caused me to become a believer." Christian, we have an amazing calling in our lives. This week, God, I promise, because God wastes nothing. This week, if you're in the hearing of my voice, this week, God will open up opportunities for you to be just like Paul. It's going to happen. You better be looking for it. Because now you're ready, if you've been listening, to give a defense for the hope that you have. Because the gospel is true. Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again from the dead, and he invites all those who would believe in him to trust him for eternal life. That's your message. It's that simple. You don't make it up. You just repeat it. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Father God, for all of the amazing benefits that we have in Jesus. And Lord, we pray as a church today that this sanctuary would be like a Caesarea pump. That Paul was pumped out of that theater to the world. Lord, I pray that you'd use this sanctuary, this service this morning, to pump us as believers out into the world. Our encounter with those in our communities and neighborhoods and workplaces is no less important than Paul giving the gospel to King Agrippa. So, Father God, I pray for a mantle of calling, a mantle of the baptism power of the Holy Spirit upon us. And Lord, for us to go with our hearts on fire, because we've got something to say, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's in him we trust. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called On Your Mark, Get Set, Be Ready, Part 2. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
Pastor Jack, this month's featured resource, it's called When Culture Hates You. It's written by Natasha Crane. You really like Natasha, right?
I mean, I do, Davey. And the reason is Natasha is one of the great defenders of the faith that we have today. She is on a continuous speaking circuit, defending the truth from the Word of God and into the culture. She's fearless. In fact, I've always often joked with a mutual friend of Natasha, Dr. Frank Turek, and I've always told Dr. Frank Turek, if we had more men like Natasha, the church would be a lot better off, because she's fearless and she's all about truth. And she's written a tremendous book, When Culture Hates You. I love the title, because if we're going to be actual followers of Jesus Christ, the culture will hate us. It must hate us. And so it's a great book. I don't want anybody to be scared by the title, but you really need to know. In fact, listen to this. Persevering for the common good as Christians in a hostile public square. That's exactly where we live. And her book will help you be equipped to do exactly that.
So if listeners were to take away just, you know, one key point from this book, what would you hope that point would be?
Yeah, evaluation, self-evaluation. Who am I? Is this really a life that describes me as a believer? Am I hitting those points, the evidences that Jesus talked about, whereby I'm actually a real Christian? I have these kinds of friends that are for me, and I have these kinds of enemies who are against me. And that may sound like a strange thing for people to hear, but Jesus said, if you love me, the world's going to hate you. And so the big question comes to us is my witness effective enough to where people love it and people hate it? And that's an important, very deep probing question that we have to ask ourselves in the 21st century as we name the name of Christ.
When Culture Hates You, written by Natasha Crane. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. One more time, jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.